Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Bad boys for life, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Great start to qualification for England, Wales and Northern Ireland. Mick McCarthy hated Ireland's Gibraltar experience. And elsewhere, Saida Berahino has helped to make history. Just got that one in, didn't I?
Yeah.
Under the line.
Easy. Donny, Donny. Easy.
It'd be quite confusing if someone's listening to this on Tuesday morning and England have lost 2-1 in Montenegro.
Yeah.
We're recording before the Montenegrin experience.
As we were also recording very much before Scotland's game on Thursday night.
We were, and before Solomon Rondon scored against Argentina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that kind of finish.
That's why international football's so exciting.
Do you know what? There'll be people around the world who watch that, the game that happened in Madrid, when Rondon, the way he took that ball, great pass, the way he took that ball down and rifled past, breaking the deadlock, beating that Argentine defence, and people go, that looks like a Newcastle United striker.
Well, it happened in the same week.
Are you trying to curry my favour, Marcus? Are you trying to cheer me?
It happened in the same week, Pete, that Mike Ashley was apparently, according to reports up in the northeast, refusing to make the deal for Rondon permanent.
Nice, okay.
Yeah. And then he goes and does that, and you think, all right.
No better than we've already got in the future.
But is this the first time that in an international qualifying cycle, that a team like England has played a 11 of actual slugs?
I think, no, because you remember the victories against the likes of San Marino.
Czech Republic promised much.
Yeah, they did.
Second best team in the group, apparently.
In the same way with Jim Campbell, he said he was going to turn up today. He's not here.
Yeah, cried, didn't he?
Another slug.
It's because of his Scotland predictions.
I think that's what it is, yeah. he needs to face the music and say that Kazakhstan, it was a gimme. Well,
wasn't.
I didn't watch the Kazakhstan game, but I did watch the San Marino game, and I feel more hurt by the San Marino game.
Oh, the San Marino game. The San Marino game was one of those games that we have to watch a lot of football doing this job, and we don't apologise. You know, we don't need any apology for that. It's a great job to have. But that was a game that tested me. I have to be honest. That's a game
awful.
Where I had to put my phone on Do Not Disturb so I wasn't distracted to actually really focus on it, because there was nothing there for me, to be honest.
Well done. Do you remember when England played Andorra in Spain, in Barcelona?
Yes.
And England won 3-0. I think it was 0-0, was it, at half-time?
Of
course you remember. That kick-started the ramble, essentially. Mm. David Nugent scoring.
Yeah.
But the England fans were fuming.
Yeah.
Absolutely fuming. Do you know what, though? We'll start with Group A with England 5, Czech Republic 0. I was at Wembley on the Friday night, and quite disgracefully, I didn't have a meal prepared for me beforehand.
No,
I was in kettle class, which is an absolute disgrace for my
kettle
money.
Kettle class.
Kettle chip class. Yeah. Slightly above.
Yeah. And how did you find yourself? Did you successfully ingratiate with normal people or not?
Do you know what? I was very hungry.
Struggle with that. Yeah, I bet you were.
Well, who's getting me my dinner?
Yeah.
how much? do you know, it was just bloody lovely. Mm. And what was so nice about it, watching this young England side, is I can remember, you know, say 10 years ago, perhaps longer, maybe even 5 or 6 years ago, when you'd see a young player come in. I think it may have been Ross Barkley, who played very well. May have been his debut. I can't remember who it was. It was a friendly against Germany, and Germany won 1-0. And young player came on, could have been Barkley, forgive me if that's wrong. And being with England fans, and nothing was happening. It was a Germany B side that beat an England A side that night. And I think whoever it was tried something, because nothing was happening, and just got tackled by a very experienced defender. Really angry.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's just not conducive.
Oh, don't try that again, you fucking giraffe.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And the atmosphere, look, like I say, I can only say from where I was sitting, but certainly the general vibe around the stadium was one of support, one of it's great to see this England team. Obviously, it helps winning games.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, if England was still
England's record and qualification is very good.
It is.
So people who have gone to Wembley, given that we haven't had a tournament in England for a long time, people who go to Wembley more often than not will see England win games.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I just to carry on that point about the young players, Southgate, the way young players talk about Raheem Sterling is if he's 30 and he's got 80-odd caps.
Yeah.
He's still, what is he, 24?
24, I think, yeah.
24. Yeah. And Southgate's been full of praise of Sterling. Obviously, he scored a hat-trick. And what a way to complete the hat-trick as well.
Yeah.
Does that count as a perfect
hat-trick?
Come off his head?
Can't even do that right, can he?
Well, Raheem Sterling's not going to score a header, so I think he hit it off the head. Was it the head of...
I saw a great parody headline from someone, like, you know, mocking what the Sun and the tabloids have done with Raheem over the last year, and it said... It said something like,
"Oh, that's right, Jamaican ball."
Evil Raheem makes off with match ball, steals ball, while all our brave soldiers have to play football in the streets without one. Or
yeah,
like that.
I got it somewhere, but yeah, sort of Jamaican-born Raheem Sterling steals match ball, earning a staggering $800,000 a week, while British soldiers are on our streets without football.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, but Raheem Sterling is indicative and sort of really look this what our friend James Horncastle would call the bandiera of this England team, because he
gives us so much.
He's everything that we want this new team to be, and he's everything that that excites fans. And Gareth Southgate deserves a huge amount of credit for sort of almost like fostering this environment where these players. I know Czech Republic aren't brilliant, and I do think teams struggle coming to Wembley because of the history and all the rest of it. But we had a bit of a scratch centre back pairing. Mm-hmm. And we had one of our holding midfield players go off injured after 10 or 15 minutes, which I think helped us, but that's another story.
I agree.
But at the same time, he's fostered this environment where we've got probably four players there in Ali, Sterling, Kane and Sancho, four players on the night anyway, that will try things, mm-hmm. and it will seem, and it won't seem negative, and people won't get frustrated or annoyed if they don't come off, because they understand that now we've got a team who can balance both defending and going forward.
Yeah, and I mean, Hudson-Odoi coming on for the last 20 minutes looked lively. I know it's easy when they're 4-0 up, or you know what I think, yeah. They were 4-0 up. But the youngest player to make his debut for England in a competitive match, 18 years and 135 days, and it was the first time in 138 years that England featured two players aged 18 or younger in an international match, which of course was Sancho and Hudson-Odoi. Last time was in February 1881. How we remember.
Yeah,
when it was Thurston, Rostron and Jimmy Brown.
Actually, when you put that in the running order for us to check, I looked at Thurston Rostron because I just loved his name.
Oh, yeah.
Tragically died at 28 years old.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, very, very sad. Very sad story. But obviously a contributor to English football,
yeah,
who we never really hear about.
Yeah, totally. And this, I mean, England and their young guns will have a different atmosphere to contend with in Podgorica tonight.
Yeah.
The stadium, you know. I mean, Montenegro used to talk years and years ago about Iceland being such an overachieving side of the population. Montenegro, it's not even a million people there. Mm-hmm. I think they've less than 700,000.
Yeah.
And yet they have a reputation. I mean, that part of the world has produced some players, for crying out loud. You know, Jovetic is probably going to be injured for the game, which is a great shame for them. But Savic, the Atleti defender, is probably going to be fit at the time of recording. We don't know. But England have played, what, twice there, I think, and haven't won. They've drawn both times.
Yeah.
There's been a few ugly scenes. You know, Joe Hart pelted with all sorts of things and one thing and another. So it will be interesting to see how they respond, because
I think Joe Hart will be safe tonight.
Joe, he should be.
Yeah.
He should be. Stay away, Joe.
Yeah.
Now, if he wants to support the boys, then come on over. Carl Walker was there a few years ago. He was the only member of the squad, I think, when they drew 1-1 when England were qualifying previously for a tournament. And he addressed the players and said, look, lads, this is what we've got tonight. You know, a Friday night at Wembley when everyone's in a good mood and when it's going well is one thing. But this may be the likes that some of the young players perhaps haven't seen before.
Sure. But the thing is, with England at the moment in this, and I saw Miguel Delaney write something this week saying that it's, I hope I'm not misquoting him, but it was something on the lines of, you know,
Declan Rice can go himself.
England are at least making a claim for being the second best team in Europe. And France are above and beyond everyone else. But other than that, I mean, you're looking at England and maybe a handful of others, and there's Netherlands are improving, Germany are in a bit of a transition, Italy are up and coming again, and Belgium are obviously very good. Mm-hmm. Spain are always going to be decent, but England are making a good fist of it. And you know, given that a game that we're expected to win at home to the Czech Republic, and you know, we still get like 85,000 or however many people it is there, 80,000 fans coming to watch the game, the atmosphere's exciting. It's just a good thing. And if I was going to criticise Southgate, I would say that Dyer going off injured really played into England's hands, because they didn't need to play Dyer and Henderson.
Yeah, I was surprised.
I don't think those two players moved the ball quick enough. Mm. And when you're at home to a team that you're expected to beat, I just don't know if with that formation, with so much energy and running and so much pressing, you don't necessarily need it.
Barkley made a difference.
He did. It was the best thing that could have happened.
I thought he was great.
Without
being
disrespectful to Dyer, it was the best thing that could have happened.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, other teams that you watched, like Ryan Giggs seems obsessed with bringing in the youngest of the young.
Yeah.
But Galatasaray has a bit more holistic, kind of like systemic. It's kind of working for him. I mean, yeah. You know,
it worked yesterday.
Well, hang on. The last two games, two clean sheets, two wins. What more do you want?
Yeah, but they had like a pretty patchy record before that, haven't they?
Pretty patchy, yeah. Marcus. But, yeah. But
shut up, Marcus.
England has a bit of a.
Pete, have a go at him. Pete, have a swear at him.
Got a bad neck. Piss.
There we go.
England have
Pete thinks
England
you're a fucking rotter.
Holistic kind of systemic kind of approach.
Go on, say another swear word. Go on.
But yeah, I don't understand why Dias died. I think that was a weird.
Especially as he's been out. I mean, he's not played normal. I know he's recovered now, but he's had appendicitis and tonsillitis, so he's been out a fair amount.
It's only going to slow down a fairly slow player anyway, isn't it, really?
It may well be that Southgate's just trying things out, because they've not been in this 4-3-3 formation for long, have they? It's just this is like a new thing. They played obviously 4-1-3-2 or whatever it was before that in the World Cup.
Well, 3-5-2.
Yeah,
essentially.
Yeah, sorry, 3-1-4. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so well, maybe he saw, when he was doing his research on Czech Republic, maybe he saw something in them and he thought, well, they might give us a few problems.
Yeah.
Clearly didn't happen. It was a moment, a few minutes, 5-10 minutes at the start of the second half where had they have scored. But I mean, I think England were always good enough.
But Marcus, just very quickly on the Montenegro thing that you said, it's true what you said about them missing a couple of players. But if you look, England have got up to, I think, 9 players out. There are players that would be considered as at least part of the squad who aren't going to make it. So Luke Shaw, John Stones, Ruben Loftus-Cheek, Fabian Delph, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Marcus Rashford, Eric Dier, and possibly Sancho and Ali, who are listed as doubtful. I mean, that's a huge amount of players out.
Sure, but for a country with, what, 58 million? Compared to a country with 650,000 or something like that. You know, I mean, their injuries, you know, Jovetic being out is a big one. And they have a couple of players who play in Serie A, you know. Marusic plays for Lazio, you know. So they are no mugs, Montenegro. Yeah. Quite clearly, they were unlucky not to beat Bulgaria. They drew 1-1 in their first qualifying game. But, you know, if it's an intimidating atmosphere, you want a bit of steel, Harry Maguire.
Yes. Oh, that was great.
Could get sent off in the first 10.
That was great. It was completely needless when England had the game already won. But I do like the idea that Harry Maguire is not going to be taken for an absolute mug. And he even Instagrammed it after.
Matai Vidra.
Yeah.
You silly boy.
Yeah.
I would not have done that.
The thing is,
that's going to come back to haunt him. I don't know how or when.
This is the kind of story that we obviously love in the media, right?
Course,
but
yeah.
It is, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but if you're someone who's going to say that kind of thing, for those who didn't see it, Matteo Vidra, the Burnley forward, said that Harry Maguire is the weak link in the team.
But he was sent off after 4 minutes against Vidra's Burnley side.
Sure. But Vidra didn't even start the game. So it's not as though Vidra is like their star player.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't understand why he would make that kind of comment. It'd be better off just to keep quiet, wouldn't it?
But I mean, he
got completely cleaned out.
Instagram
anyway.
Post that we're mentioning there is worth seeing on which Harry Maguire posted. Ben Chilwell posted a photo of him on the unicorn in the swimming pool.
I wanted it. I wanted
Maguire. You wanted unicorn.
Is that just a permanent resident? Have they got loads of them? Is there just one of them?
I think it should be just the one.
My understanding is that like they do like a cool down session in the swimming pool.
Yeah.
And
that's when the unicorn
they have these
out.
Kind of races on unicorns and that kind of pool inflatables, basically. I don't know what the special significance of the unicorn is, other than it looks amazing.
Because they didn't, I mean, presumably that unicorn was on carry-on or in their luggage when they went away, so.
But it deflates, mate.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying that it's just a weird thing to carry.
Yeah, true.
Like
carrying
a sex doll through an airport, isn't it?
Well, no, please continue.
And how do you do that?
Which airport specifically?
Is that part of the last one? It's like calling someone in the Philippines on Skype or anywhere.
Yeah. And he was doing CPR on a sex doll, wasn't he, as well? Yeah.
Oh, dearie me. But what about that first England goal?
What about that own goal?
The own goal. Oh, it was an own goal.
It wasn't very much an own goal.
It was. Yeah. It was. He picked a spot beautifully.
Uh huh. Seen him play for Fulham.
he's on loan at Bristol City from Chelsea.
At the moment.
He's one of Chelsea's 5 million.
He is. Yeah. Blimey. Yeah. I don't know. I think the occasion got to him there. It was kind of like, I could clear it. Oh, there's a man behind me. It's in the net.
It came to him quite quickly, but there's no reason a professional footballer should be taking that kind of heavy touch.
But that first England goal, 25 pass move involving 10 England players.
It's the future.
I mean, come on. Hey.
It's the future.
What about that? What do you think of Jadon Sancho, though?
Much very good.
Made about him.
Very good. I think...
good to get an assist.
Absolutely.
Perhaps could have scored, but...
He probably should have scored, actually. But I thought he was excellent. And I think you know... If you can get Sterling, I know Sterling and Kane have played together a decent amount for England. But if they settle in that formation and play Sterling, Kane, and you've got Sancho or Rashford, if they can get an understanding, I mean, I don't want to go over the top because people who listen to this show who aren't English will always like laugh at us for going over the top about England.
Well, we're not going over the top.
No.
About
well, let me finish.
Okay.
England will win.
That doesn't.
No.
If we don't clean up for the next 10 years.
No, but it's a frightening front three.
It is.
It's a front three that if you transpose that across to another nation and you had to play them in a knockout game in a tournament, you'd be thinking shit.
Yeah.
Because
you would.
And my mind goes back to, and you'll be able to help me out on this, Marcus, because your memory is much better than mine.
1990?
No, not that far. You had 2010 when England played Germany in the second round.
Uh-huh.
I just remember thinking they've got players who are frightening.
Yes.
They've got frightening players. And all we've really got is this weird formation where we play Rooney up front on his own. And even though he's not supposed to be up front on his own, he ends up so isolated. And that's basically it. Other than that, we're hoping for Frank Lampard or Steven Gerrard to score one from outside the area. And that's our plan, right? But we've it's almost
Gareth
like,
Barry got injured and we were like, oh no.
Oh God, yeah. But now it's almost like we've got weapons. We've got players even someone like Barkley who can pick up the ball in the half.
Weapons turn. From the bench as well.
Yes. I know Barkley's inconsistent, but he can be a
I
real
love
asset.
Barkley on the turn. I think he's an excellent player to that almost like a sort of a 360-degree footballer, if you know what I mean by that. Gets on the turn and can drive and provides a lot of thrust and a
he's
bit
a
of creativity.
Spherical footballer.
Well he is, and England don't he is. England don't have too many conventionally creative midfielders. You'd say he was a bit more. I know Winks can pick a pass and he's not in the side.
Well, we've still got Winks to come. Actually, I didn't mention Winks and I actually really rate Winks. I think in possession he's fantastic and he's just what you need in international football. But I'll tell you why, because I don't want to sort of bring him on too quickly or to try and make him sound better than he is, but he's an improving player and he's brilliant. I've always thought he's been great whenever I've seen him play. And he's key because if you go up 2-0 against a team in a knockout stage of a tournament, say in the Nations League, right? Yeah. Or when we play Holland or next or the summer after this one when we go to the Euros, we're 2-0 up in a knockout game. I mean, Winks is exactly the kind of player you want because I think he's better in tighter areas than mm-hmm. Dyer mm-hmm. and Henderson. I think he can recycle possession in almost like a Carrick kind of way. Now, I don't think he's as good as Carrick at his peak yet, but he's just simple and he's a kind of player that other top nations really respect
because
they think we need that kind of player. Uh-huh. And if we can find a way to infiltrate him into the squad and use him effectively as well. I mean, it just gets better and better for England.
But the two players we're talking about there, Barkley and Winks, both started in that game against Spain away when England won 3-2.
Exactly.
And I think Barkley was certainly heavily involved in at least one of the goals and Winks played pretty well. Mm. But what I like about Barkley and that front three you say is that they stretch the play and England, when you've got pace, which England do, it's always going to be a problem. Mm. It's always a problem, doesn't matter who you play. Teams can deal with it. You know, it's not some sort of ace card.
Well, as I said before, like I thought that they were going to defend a lot deeper, but they just didn't seem interested.
Well, I was surprised.
They looked very sluggish at the back.
I was surprised, actually, and it will be interesting how Montenegro set up tonight, because I think if people do play a deep line and really try and bolt the door, how will England respond? But if England, if you're going to stretch the play, with the thing is with say, Sterling and Rashford, say, take them, what is great about them is they can go inside. They're not just conventional wingers. They can get out wide, they can get some chalk on their boots, or they can come in a bit further. But if you stretch the play, it opens up the game.
It's actually a titanium pigment now, mate.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm a bit old-fashioned with my...
I want titanium in your mouth, do you?
Yeah, no.
Still call the goal post the woodwork, you know.
Yeah,
that
yeah. Oh, I respect that.
but that's why someone like Barkley is crucial, because it would, in theory, give him a bit more room to breathe. And I wouldn't mind him to start tonight, to be perfectly honest, against Montenegro.
But also, the key to breaking down teams who make it difficult, which I agree with Pete, Czech Republic didn't really do, if they do that tonight, the key is to move the ball quickly.
Yeah,
of course it is to take up different positions and make the sort of defenders guess a bit or not know who's picking up who. But you've got to move the ball quick.
Well,
and England's tempo has been a problem for them over the last generation or so.
Which is why that first goal against Czech Republic is encouraging.
Yeah, 100%.
And I think that's it. That to me is England's test in this group, is how can you break teams down that are going to sit back and shut up shop. Mm-hmm. And with the defender, if Savic plays, you know, that's an experienced defender who plays for Atletico Madrid, marshal that defence and whatnot. Mm.
Then it's not tempo, it's all about rhythm.
And yeah.
Getting in amongst.
Get rhythm.
What
when
I'm saying
got
is we've got an embarrassment of riches and we should separate it into two England sides.
Yes,
and
I agree.
And two into competition.
What would you call the second team?
England 2.
England
2.0. England Redux.
I thought you were going to say, what would you call the second side? You're going to be disrespectful to say Scotland.
Yeah. Ah, no, they're fifth at least. At least. Marcus.
Well, let's have a quick ad break, and after which we will talk about Scotland and some of the other nations. See you in a minute.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Pickford comes out of his goal and takes a look at the cat. The cat looks at Pickford.
Clean sheet for that man, of course.
Yes.
Geordie Pickford. Clean, welcome back.
Clean litter tray.
Cat or no cat.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble.
It was a perfect performance.
Indeed it was. Now then, it's time for emails with the Bulgarian national coach, PED.
hello to Tamus.
Famous.
Beautiful name. Canberra, Australia. Quick note, thanks for the strong chat on your Rice Baby pod, which got me through a wife-arranged, you're 37 with three kids, so it's snip time vasectomy on Friday with only a couple of toe curling winces.
I believe they tie it now, Pete.
What, the knob?
Yeah.
So it can, be undone, yeah.
Or
yeah.
Can't they just cauterize it?
When you need a piss,
they put
your
knot in your actual penis. Yeah.
Can't they just, because it just goes in the, I don't want to get too medical, but it just goes into the scrotal sack.
Get as medical as you can.
I don't think
the
you can.
Semen just goes into your scrotal sack and just, you know, just
builds up.
Well, just gets reabsorbed by the body, which is fascinating.
Oh, all right.
Well, can make you stronger?
Go somewhere.
I mean, show at thefootballramble.com if you're a medical professional and you need to disavow Peter that notion.
All right, cool.
That should not be taken as a medical fact by anyone listening.
Yeah. As the syringe went in, the nurse chuckled condescendingly and the doctor waved his scissors in my face. I put my earphones on, lay back and thought of England.
Ah, good man.
Good man.
Thank you very much. Grateful for the distraction. It meant more to you. Oh, it meant more than you want to know.
Yeah.
Newly neutered yours.
I agree with that. Yeah, I agree.
Hello, lads. Steve Bull told a story about Gazza when he was in the England team for Italian 90, which I thought you'd like. Rare mention of Steve Bull on the podcast.
Welcome, though.
During the players' time off between matches, they would often get bored, so the gaffer would organise a race day where they'd pull a videotape of a random horse race from a random country and they would bet on it.
Oh, I've heard about teams doing this.
I'd not heard this story, though. Gary Lineker and Peter Shilton were the bookies, so they would bet against the others. Nobody won anything until the last race. Before the race starts, Gazza tells him to put the money on a horse called Paul's Destiny, which is at 20 to 1.
It was a stitch up.
When the race starts, like the old operation, isn't it? Gazza is already jumping up and down on the sofa shouting. The horse starts badly, but then ends up coming up from behind to win the race by the snout. Everyone in the room, apart from Lineker and Schultz, are now celebrating, calling Gazza a legend. The next day, Gazza tells everyone that they have to give them two of the money back because he'd watched the video the night before.
Yeah.
It sneaked in.
Good lad.
Like the lottery results, Peter, didn't that? That was
a Steve Bull. What an English Bull. Footballer.
That was, you know. We've got an email from Anonymous. They actually sent they actually put their name on and then later
the
on
group?
Said, yes.
Why are we getting targeted?
Don't read that out.
They've got a few demands.
We're the least of their worries.
No wonder the cameras aren't working.
Can they fix their iPad? Does Anonymous have access to Bluetooth technology that works?
Yeah.
Anonymous, love the show. I just want to correct you on something.
Oh.
I think it's important to give your listeners the correct information rather than wild speculation. On the rice.
Wow, it's not right.
Is this about the vasectomy?
On the rice.
Very quick. This is Anonymous.
I know, right? On the Rice Young Player Award bit you were just talking about on yesterday's show, Luke was saying he'd heard Delaney just decided to give it to Rice. I can categorically tell you that is completely untrue.
Yeah,
that
is.
A panel of both print and digital dirt journalists are convened every year and cast their votes on both Senior and Young Player of the Year. This was done in November 2018. At that time, they all agreed that Declan Rice was by far away the best young player that year for Ireland, despite knowing the possibility he would finally declare for England in the future. The criteria was the best young player to play either for the Republic of Ireland in 2018. I know this as I work in Off the Ball with one of the members on that panel. It only got unembargoed 2 weeks ago. The stupid bit from the FAI is that they give these awards out in March the following year, leading to where we are now. So there we go.
No,
Luke was saying literally wild speculation.
Yeah, I apologise for that. I was told that, and because it involved John Delaney, I just immediately didn't question it.
I was going to say.
That's on me. Please do not forensically get into all the things I say, because I mean, we might be here a long time every week. But can I just say, because you know... John Delaney has stepped down now as CEO of the FAI.
Yeah.
And he's taken... there's going to be someone else taking the role. And people...
Is it Don Delaney?
Yeah. It's not when Homer Simpson puts that monocle and that top hat on. But, and he's taken up another job. And I read the statement that said he's been leaving his post. And I thought, oh, people will be happy with that because obviously he wasn't very popular. And I saw a little sentence towards the end of the statement, which, Marcus, you will agree is the dictionary definition of a lovely old job. The FAI said Mr. Delaney would take up a new role in the association's executive as the association's executive vice president with responsibility for UEFA and FIFA matters.
Incredible.
Oh, don't worry about that rubbish. I'm going straight over to Switzerland. Thank you very much.
That's what you said, or Jim said on the last podcast, was surely he's passing every test to become a FIFA delegate.
Wow.
Oh, massively.
Listen, the next step has been taken.
Roy said it's Blatter-esque on the emails. He also pointed out something I didn't actually know, that the National League of Ireland, win the winners get 110k and his actual salary is 380k, which is just... Yeah. A real wonderful fucker.
Really supporting the sport.
As you said, Peter, he's gone down a snake and he's gone up a ladder.
Yeah. Hopefully he's got both shoes off when he turns up at FIFA. Yeah.
Five for now, Richard, just want to say thank you for the podcast, simply because he has recently discovered the Football Ramble podcast. He works in Peru. An ex-colleague introduced him to our podcast after listening to another podcast.
All right.
And he just wanted to shout out his ex-colleague and introduced him to the Ramble. And unfortunately, since this guy's left, he's broke his Football Ramble mug. Did we sell mugs for a while?
I think we sell them on the Facebook page.
Oh, do we? Right, okay.
Yeah, people should go and buy one. I've got one at home. Actually, no, I haven't, because I gave it to my mum and dad. They want one.
Or I hear in Peruvian markets they sell knockoff ones.
made of alpaca wool.
Yeah, exactly.
Shoot at thefootballramble.com if you want to get involved and say hello. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And the Football Ramble is a broad church. We've got people discovering the Ramble for the very first time. It's great. Yeah. It's encouraging.
Lovely.
Lovely old job.
Did you make that email up?
Richard in Peru.
Nobody will check that.
Isn't that your breakbeat DJ name?
he removed the words deepest, darkest before Peru because it was too obvious.
Paddington Bear.
Indeed. Group C, Northern Ireland. They've got their two wins. They've got them. Mm. Two wins for the Green and White Army. They beat Belarus 2-1, a late McGuinness goal. A crucial goal, very much so indeed. And then Bailey Peacock-Farrell made a good save late on to keep the score at 2-1. I was pleased for him because we remember, we always go on about that Bosnia and Herzegovina defeat in Belfast for Northern Ireland, where he made a little bit of an error and whatnot. So I was pleased that he was among the heroes in that game, making a crucial contribution late on.
Got more names than hands.
Indeed, yes.
You can't argue with that.
You cannot. Northern Ireland, of course, they beat Estonia 2-0. So that is what O'Neill wanted. He was desperate for two wins, he said, because otherwise we might as well just forget the thing. And they've got them. And bearing in mind, before those games, they'd scored three goals in their last eight competitive fixtures.
Mm. Yeah.
It's good going. You have to say it's good going.
It is, because we were used to seeing... Northern Irish people might disagree. From the outside looking in, we kind of got used to them being a team... who were more than some of their parts, who sort of punched above their weight and all those other sort of cliches. But they did sort of drop off a bit. I mean, the Nations League, they were dreadful.
Yeah.
And it's good for them to start off with two good wins, because they're in a very competitive group. And they're, to be honest, and we'll come on to Germany and Netherlands shortly, I'm sure, but they need badly for one of them to slip up here, because they've got absolutely no chance otherwise.
Sure. I mean, they probably would have liked to draw, but now Germany have won that game. They probably would want Germany.
That was an absolute robbery as well, by the way. Did you watch that game?
I saw, I mean, the Dutch came from 2-0 down.
Well, it was incredible.
And the Dutch have got their tails up, and obviously when they equalised, they brought out a little celebration and whatnot. Germany, a little bit tail between their legs, relatively speaking, for such a powerhouse, but to nick a winner against their old rivals.
90th minute as well.
They will absolutely love that.
But, you know, the first half, Germany were decent, and Holland... or whatever you want to call them these days, Netherlands. Mm-hmm. Netherlands didn't really do an awful lot. And then Koeman changed it at half-time.
Oh, he will do.
He brought Bergwijn on for... who did he bring him on for? I can't remember now. He brought him for Babel, I think. He changed the shape.
Babel missed a couple of chances.
Exactly.
Early on,
but he changed the shape, and all of a sudden they flew out the blocks and they were pressing.
I think Koeman was looking at the list and he was like, we got a Fulham player in there.
Yeah. but they completely dominated the second half, and they were pushing and pushing. And I think they thought, when they brought it back to 2-2, they thought, this is here for us to take.
Absolutely.
Now. And then Germany got up the other end the final minute and score.
Well, I tell you something, the old adage of never write off the Germans, apart from at Russia 2018.
Yeah. What did Gary Lineker say? Football is a game played between two teams and 11 players. At the end, the Germans win.
Yeah. Well, they're getting that little bit back, aren't they? Because that was sort of classic German style.
Do you know what? And this may sound obvious, so forgive me, but I want to put it out there. We've seen Netherlands been poor, and they've struggled in various qualification regions.
Koeman's got them going, though.
Yeah, he has. In the Nations League, they've been resurgent.
And what a group to come through. Germany and France.
I know. Poor. But look at the players they've got now. The spine of their team is decent. I mean, De Ligt and Van Dijk at the back.
Blimey, yeah.
They've got Frank de Jong, who's one of the world's most expensive players now. Wijnaldum was having a great season. They've got Memphis Depay, who's probably better for Netherlands than he is for Lyon.
He performs for Netherlands.
Yeah, and they've got options. You know, they've got experienced players who can come on if they need them. So
it'd be an interesting game when England play them.
They've also got the Rooney, who used to play for Middlesbrough.
There we are. You see, Peter. So, bit of northeast connection there for you.
Yeah.
But Northern Ireland top the group. They top their group.
And that's all you can ask for, right?
Yeah, well, that's it. It's such a perfect start for them. Mm. 6 points, because had it have been four, had Belarus have scored late on, it just takes the shine off it and you think, oh, blimey. Two wins, you never know. You get a fortunate result here or there. Other results go your way. I mean, they would. I'm guessing they'd probably want Germany to go on and just win the group now because they've got that win in the Netherlands. You know, Germany's hardest game is out of the way. And they've
so Northern Ireland go to Estonia in June, and then after that, they play Germany at home and
I think they've got they would have Belarus and Estonia away because they play those four.
Oh, is that right?
Because they're running as a real bastard.
Estonia and Belarus away, then they go after that, they go play Germany at home and then
they've got Germany Netherlands twice home and away. So yeah, I mean, if they have 12 points going into there. those last four games, we shall see.
Yeah,
but you know, a lot of football to be played.
Yeah.
Group E, Wales. They got that 1-0 win against Slovakia. Pete Donaldson, eh? Big win for the Welsh.
Absolutely whipped. I didn't think there was a shot on, to be honest. And it was in the back of the net.
That's Daniel James for you.
Yeah, that's Daniel James for you.
I was really pleased for him.
He's tenacious, isn't he?
Well, yeah. Is it second cap somehow? Second full
cap? It was his first goal for Wales and his first competitive start.
Not too shoddy.
I know. But the way, you know, we talk about the power that he has and the pace. Well, the way he latched onto that, buff, 1-0. Lovely old job.
It was a great hit.
It was a great goal for them psychologically because it came so early on and it showed, because I think that Slovakia were nervous of Wales's energy and their pace. They've got a lot of good young players. Of course, they've got Gareth Bale playing as well. And the fact that they scored so early in the way they scored, because Daniel James nipped in there.
That's right.
It made, to me, I watched the game and it made Slovakia look like they were thinking, if we make any mistakes, we're going to be punished.
Yeah.
And that's really psychologically difficult. And I thought it got into the heads of a lot of their players. The guy who played left back, Hansko, who then missed that chance where he started a complete air shot, he had an absolutely torrid time all game.
Yeah.
And is he a Fiorentina player? I think he might be on loan somewhere else, but
he's played
at
a standard.
I'm sure he plays in the Serie A, I think. Yeah. I was very surprised. I was very, very disappointed by Slovakia. I have to say, I thought
I think that the most settled defender seemed to be Martin Dubravka.
but you're right to say that with the way Wales started, with the home crowd up, they were making a lot of noise.
But they've got Skriniar at the back, who's a really good, good player, and they've got Hamsik. Of course, I know he's moved to China now, has he? But he's a player of some experience.
He went in really, really late. I'm a little bit tired of really heavy professional fouls. He went in really late, got a yellow card like 89th minute or something like that. The guy on the right knew it was going to happen, so he protected himself. But when are we going to just sort of?
Do you think that should be a straight red? Would you like to see that?
I would like to see referees having an option to sort of
Well, they've got an option. Just pull the red card out.
Yeah, I know, but like, if it's a professional foul, it's so needless and so kind of like inevitable that we just accept it as part of the game. It does mind nothing.
On that sort of similar vein, Michael Cox, the tactical guy, as we call him,
Zonal Martin.
His full name, Michael Cox, tactical guy. I'm sure I've seen him argue for Pete. You know that kind of foul when a team's on a breakaway, and they just get dragged back and pulled down. That's an automatic yellow card
to break up the play. Yeah,
I've seen Cox. I think argue that that he thinks that should be a red card.
Yeah, I
think it should be
quite a compelling argument as well. Actually,
I think it should be.
It would change the game in such a profound and possibly better way.
Yeah,
it would be hard to enforce. You'd get it wrong a few times, and people would plead innocent. And
same as it ever was, mate.
The thing is, professional fouls are so obvious, and we got VAR now. People can.
I revert you back to that one time at Old Trafford when Wayne Rooney thought, oh, "I'll do one of those fouls." I'll do one of those.
And he went way over the top.
And he smashed him on the thigh. Yeah. The referee was like, red card.
I've got into that.
I've not read the manual fully there, have I? Foul him.
And you wouldn't get that situation where like a player gets a professional foul to get himself, to clean his record, to take the next game off.
Yeah, Sergio Ramos.
Ramos or Beckham.
Beckham did it, that's right.
But I thought Slovakia, Pete, you touched on something there that I completely agree with. Slovakia were really ill-tempered. They were frightened by Wales. They picked up loads of bookings. I've got it in front of me here. I think they ended up picking up 2, 4, 6, 7 bookings.
Well, I wonder if, I don't know, I haven't checked, which is poor of me, but I wonder if Hamsik was on a booking the next day. Maybe it was a tactical.
But one of the bookings came after full-time, because I don't know if you guys saw it, but Slovakia were on the attack, and one of them had a shot, and it got deflected out for a corner, and the referee just blew up for full-time, which I don't know if you can do.
I think the referee can blow up whenever.
But doesn't it have to be in a neutral zone?
No, I don't think so. Unless they've changed the rules. The last time I read the rules, the referee does not have to. The only time where...
Anyway, they were unhappy about that.
They were very unhappy.
You would be unhappy about that.
You would be. The only time where... the only moment in the game where time can be added on is if there's a penalty.
Right.
So if someone is fouled, it's a penalty, and then it's like, bang, that is... The referee deems it full time. You have to take the penalty. That's the only occasion. Unless the rules have changed recently. So forgive me if they have. But a spanner has been thrown into the works in Group E. As Hungary beat Croatia 2-1. Mm. And this is a Croatia side that included Lovren, Vida, Brozovic, Perisic, Modric, Rakitic, Kramaric, Rebric, Ivanovic? No, he wasn't there. He didn't even play for them. Never has. All the itches were there, and is what I was trying to say.
But there's always going to be twists and turns in these kind of things, right?
Exactly. Interesting. And Hungary, not a great side, really. They don't have too many good players. So Wales, nicely placed, having played one game fewer than Slovakia, Hungary and Croatia, and all those sides are on 3 points. It's a brilliant start for Wales. I know they would have wanted to win the game more than 1-0 on the way they started, and, you know, slightly hanging on at the end. Mm. But they got the win. And David Brooks, who's just been named Welsh Footballer of the Year, also been named Wales Young Player of the Year. He looked great as well, very tenacious. And again, looks like you have players coming through for Wales who go, give me the national team jersey. Yeah. And the jersey isn't heavy anymore because it's more dynamic. But in a more, you know,
but the atmosphere
figurative sense.
The stadium was great.
Yeah. I mean, again, similar vibes to what's happening with England.
The co-commentator, I can't remember.
Similar vibes.
I can't remember who it was, but he said that, you know, this is amazing because I remember. He was presumably a Welsh ex-international. And he said, oh, I remember playing, there was like 4,000 people there. No one really cared. Yeah. Now people are really into it. But David Brooks is really key for Wales, I think purely because he's obviously very good, but he's quite versatile.
Yeah.
So he can play wide, he can play in the hole, he can play a bit deeper, he can play lots of different positions.
He's like a potato waffle.
He is. He's waffly versatile, Pete. And he goes with bacon, fried eggs, fish fingers.
Bacon bits.
I've
just got that play on words. Do they mean awfully versatile?
Waffly, yeah.
Waffly.
My friend...
What an ad campaign.
A complete idiotic moment. I was like, oh, that's what they mean.
My friend Liz thought it was, at the time I remember, she thought it was, we waffle them just for fun.
We waffle them just for fun.
Yeah. Mm. Which it also kind of applies, right?
Indeed,
anyway,
yeah.
David Brooks is the potato waffle of Welsh football. And that's important, right? Because they don't always have a load of players to call on.
Yeah.
And I think that's key, that he can play, fill in wherever he's needed.
So good signs for England, good signs for Wales. We move on to Group I, Scotland.
Yeah.
Lost 3-0 in Kazakhstan.
Can I open with a quote from assistant coach Peter Grant?
Oh, please.
People say it's the easiest thing in the world to defend. We proved it's not.
Well, fair enough, Peter.
Yeah, yeah.
McLeish said after the match that there would be twists and turns and blips along the way. And he's coming from some criticism. Yeah. Russia went there and won 4-0.
Most of the blips will happen at Scotland.
In a Scotland
Imagine that, though. Well, there will be twists and turns. But can we just stay on the straight and narrow?
I was talking about this off air, but my neck is absolutely killing watching that Scotland match. It's just constantly either in the air.
You watch on a big screen. Do not watch Scotland on a big screen in games like that.
I mean, is it the worst? I mean,
well, they came roaring back with a 2-0 win against San Marino.
Is it the worst result in their history?
Could be.
I mean, if you look at Kazakhstan's record, it's not great, is it?
Well, Kazakhstan are a funny side because I remember England went there and I think won 3-0, but it was cited as a bit of a tricky one, potentially.
It's right. Just the traveller, isn't it? I think that's why.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was.
But I found the San Marino performance more egregious. I found that more.
Well, the funny thing is,
so boring.
They got off to such a good start. Go early on and you think, right, go and win 4 or 5.
Yeah.
But it was so tense, well, reasonably tense, and they had to wait to the 74th minute. And I think that's why fans were annoyed. They're sitting there and it's 1-0 and they're thinking... Mm. Come on.
Bearing in mind the referee wasn't really giving San Marino much. I thought that San Marino could have, they could possibly have had a penalty. They could have possibly had a couple of free kicks that they didn't get.
But they won 2-0.
They did win 2-0.
They win. I mean, they beat a poorer side 2-0.
The saddest thing for me.
The worst side, Marcus.
The saddest thing for me would be that, like, Scotland bringing back the big guns for San Marino because, like, their first game's been so poor. Like, I mean, we embarrassed ourselves on this show on Thursday saying how they're going to do this and they're going to do that and they should go and start off with a couple of wins.
We shouldn't beat ourselves up over this, I think.
No,
than enough.
Yeah, I completely agree, yeah. And I don't think, and also, far be it for me to defend Alex McLeish unnecessarily. Someone made the point that in the Kazakhstan game, Alex McLeish himself had, I think, around the same amount of caps as all the players in that team put together.
Mm.
So they were an inexperienced team, but of course it was Kazakhstan. But I don't actually think, for whatever my knowledge of football is or isn't, from what I've seen over the years watching football, I don't think you can blame the manager for that.
Mm.
Against Kazakhstan, he's going to drill the players, he's going to put the tactics in place, he's going to go out and perform, and they should have enough to beat him. I don't know how you feel, Marcus, but a manager doesn't really affect whether you beat San Marino or Kazakhstan.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think
I just don't think it affects the game.
I don't think Kazakhstan are as utter crap as people are saying, you know. But I think, again, it's the manner of it. The game was gone after 10 minutes or whatever it was. That is it. And Scotland never looked likely to get back in it. And if you're playing against a side who are much weaker than you and it's gone straight away and the home side look as like they're having a lovely time... The manager's always going to take some flack because he's not inspired them, he's not done anything like that. But yeah, I think you have to look at the players. I mean, It's not as inspiring as, say, Big Mick McCarthy for the Irish, who got a clean sheet against Gibraltar in Group D.
He enjoyed it, didn't he?
3 points. What a horrible game. I hated every minute of it, playing against a team with nothing to lose and everything to gain. And then he goes on to say, nothing of the game disappointed me or surprised me. A horrible game, but a great 3 points to start with. When I saw that interview, the post-match interview, I thought, people are going to think we handed him a script.
Yeah.
What is he saying in the actual dressing room?
Wanted the post-match interviewer, Pete, to say to him, mate, why are you still doing this?
You don't enjoy it.
Yeah. Surely you've got enough money to do something else. Yeah. I'll take it easy.
Another EastEnders episode. I hate this. I'll watch it on half my tea, though.
It's like people who listen to this show and then just slag us off or whatever. Just find something you do like. Yeah. We're not making you listen. Like, Mick, no one's making you do this job.
I think people would hate listen to the Ramble, and I imagine they do hate listen to the Ramble and go, that's rubbish.
All of them.
But Mick McCarthy, as the boss, there's not enough passion there to actually hate what he's doing. He just doesn't enjoy it. It's like having a toenail removed. It's not particularly excruciating.
It's horrible having a toenail removed.
All right, a blackened toenail. It's rotten.
Think of something else.
Yeah, think of something else.
Having a vasectomy.
That's horrible as well. Yeah, yeah. Getting one of those shaves in a Turkish barber's.
Okay.
Where it's a little bit...
Scary, but
it's not terrible.
The prospect of it is worse than actually happening. Okay, yeah.
What a horrible podcast.
The dentist's clean.
I think Mick McCarthy, the only reason, the grand sum total of why he took this job is because he was replacing, to an extent, Roy Keane.
Maybe.
And just like, all right, the thing that will make this worse for Roy Keane will be me replacing that team.
It was a 1-0 win. They faced Georgia at home on Tuesday evening, of course.
Dan Randolph made a brilliant save, by the way, in that game.
Tell you what, Roy Cipollina.
I recognise that name.
Yeah.
That's what's great about international football. There's two
Cipollinas.
They're brothers, right?
Are
they not brothers?
If they've got the same surname and they're both from Gibraltar, there is a chance.
It's a chance.
There is a big chance. Well, I think it's Joseph Cipollina is the joint top scorer for Gibraltar with two goals.
Two, okay.
Well, Roy could have joined him because he scored one and he was close, and that was at 0-0.
Yeah.
It was at 0-0. It was a crazy atmosphere. You've got a plastic pitch or a fake pitch. The wind was kicking up. Randolph was going on about how there was a plane taking off just behind his goal or something like that.
Yeah,
you do not want to go 1-0 down in a game like that because everyone then starts going, oh, crap.
Yeah.
It starts panicking, jobbying themselves. But they didn't. And they won 1-0. So a great win for the Irish once again.
Take it and move on.
After the break, ladies and gentlemen, we've got the WhatsApp group. See you in a minute.
When I switched, there was cameras everywhere. Flash, flash, flash. Mate, it was amazing.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, the preview show. Sponsored by Bet365. We'll be back on Thursday. Oh, our best bet was so close.
No.
I don't like this. I would have rather him just absolutely fallen out of it.
The hat trick was... It's never been closer.
Shout out to everyone on Twitter who's following it closely and sending updates through. And we were one goal short. We needed over 2.5 goals in the Spain and the Italy game. Spain, it happened. Italy finished
2-0.
Yeah. And Quagliarella came so close to delivering
it. And what a man it would have been.
It would have been delicious.
Oh my goodness.
We need a new best better for Thursday because of that. Show at thefootballramble.com with best bet in the subject line. And I'll say what I always say when someone vacates the hot seat. Joshua Gibson, we hardly knew you.
I know. What a great effort from Joshua Gibson.
Yeah, shout out.
Well played, sir. So close to being immortalised. But there we are. That's the fine line. Let's talk about the Africa Cup of Nations very briefly. We mentioned Saïda Berahino at the top of the show. Well, you're going to get him. He was involved as Burundi qualified for the first time ever to the Africa Cup of Nations. Get a load of Saïda on the right side of news for a change.
Yeah, he's actually playing for someone.
It's great to see. They only needed a draw against Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang's Gabon, who themselves needed a win. And they got that draw. So Aubameyang's not going to beat the African Cup of Nations, but Berahino is.
I didn't see that coming.
Hey, class is
coming for Burundi.
Class is permanent.
Saïda's international career is one of intrigue because he's now 25.
Yep.
Of course, it was a difficult season. We shouldn't make light of those because we don't know the extent of.
But it's great to see him involved in such a piece of history.
England under 16s, mm-hmm. England under 17s,
yeah.
England under 18s.
Yeah.
He's made. Let me just work this out. He's made around 40 odd appearances at. Youth level for England,
sure.
Burundi, straight to Burundi. You think I'm not going to go and play for England now, so I'm going to go and play for Burundi.
That's all right.
It's their gain, isn't it? It's their gain, and he's now taken them to a international tournament.
That's
so good
great.
For him.
Absolutely brilliant.
You're right, though. It's absolutely great to see some good news around a player who's lost his way for whatever reason we don't know. Mm-hmm. We are sympathetic to that, of course.
It's a lot of hype he had a few years ago, of course.
Place of his birth, by the way, Brenda. Well,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, of course. You just can't pick him, can you?
There's
got to be a link. There's got to be a link. Exactly. And there is a strong link with Berhina, so good luck to him. Madagascar will make their first appearance at the Cup, too.
I loved seeing that.
Yeah, along with Mauritania.
Mauritania.
So they're all there. There's still places up for grabs, if anyone fancies it.
and when does it start, the African Cup of Nations, Marcus? It's June,
21st
right?
June, yeah.
June, okay.
It's in the summertime. Well, the...
Our summertime.
Northern Hemisphere summertime.
Yeah.
Although it is in Egypt, so it shouldn't be too hot in Egypt during the summer, maybe. I don't know. I think they'll be okay. But yes, it's in Egypt. I mean, Egypt, they always win the African Cup of Nations, don't they? Apart from when... what's his name? Our man, Harve Renard, has other ideas.
The Mauritania have done really well because they're in a group with Angola and Burkina Faso.
Yeah, not easy.
And Burkina Faso, obviously, we've seen them qualify before and they've done well. So
what about Cameroon, eh? Managed by Clarence Seedorf. His assistant, Patrick Cliver.
Come on. Let's have a bit of that.
That is a lovely old job, Pete Donaldson.
They've slipped into there without losing. They didn't concede a goal at home in the qualification. So watch out.
They know how to defend. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the WhatsApp group.
We've got a little jingle for that, Pete.
Well, in the WhatsApp group, everybody, we start, Luke Moore, with a Fort William update.
I know.
Thousands of you tweeted us.
People are so into Fort William, particularly when they play the great...
Keith. How could you forget that?
So Fort William went up against Keith on Saturday.
Literally just one-on-one.
Yeah, and just to give people an update, because I haven't done it for a while... They're in the 18-team strong Highland League, of which Cove Rangers are top with 78 points, battling out with Brora Rangers and Fraserburgh, who are not far behind them. And you've got a couple of teams that you'd recognise in there from the Scottish Cup. So teams like Bucky Thistle, Deverin Vale, and Keith themselves, of course.
Who's recognising Deverin Vale?
Deverin Vale, I always see them in the draw. Always see them. But they're firmly ensconced in mid-table, Marcus, as you'd no doubt be.
They're middling to fair side.
Fort William have got minus 7 points. They are rock bottom. I'll give you a little clue because they played Keith on Saturday and they lost 11-0. Keith himself, famously Keith, who plays for Keith. I want to get him on the show, by the way.
Yeah.
He scored five of them. So Keith scored five for Keith.
If they just played Keith himself, they would have won.
They've lost five.
Hall's four. We said a Glutz was five.
A Glutz was five. Pete, do you want to have a guess at what Fort William's goal difference is for this season in the Highland League?
How many games have they played?
They've played 28 games.
65.
Minus 65.
Minus 65.
Okay. Marcus?
Yeah, I go higher. I say minus 86.
Minus 193.
Bloody Nora.
They've scored 17 and they've conceded 210 goals this season.
I think if they score against you, you've got to leave the league. 17 times.
I think that we should try and do some sort of episode where we go and play for them. Because I'm telling you now.
Yeah, it can't be worse, can it?
No one in this room.
We're dreadful. Apart from Mars.
Minus 210. Minus 193.
They're an actual football team.
We should go up there and say, right, you need a new back four, the four of us.
Yeah, Pete, put it in perspective.
Pete and Jim fullbacks.
If you've got to train up to Fort William now and played from this Saturday,
it's not going to make a difference.
And they lose 15-0.
Oh, yeah. No one's going to notice. No one's going to notice, yeah.
You might get forward for a corner and pop up with one.
I think we should be their back four for a game.
I'd love it. I'd absolutely love it.
We'll get Big Show Pav in goal, man.
In the foothills of Ben Nevis, in Glen Nevis itself.
We'd have a great weekend.
Sounds chilly.
Brilliant.
I don't know if they would.
Anyway, shout out to Fort William. They're not going to get relegated because I don't think you do get relegated from this division. But yeah, they're on minus 7 points, which isn't a great return, needless to say. Having said that, they've got three games in hand over second bottom Lossiemouth. So if they win those three, they'll be on 2 points, just 6 points off the bottom.
All right.
It's all to play for.
Is there anyone, speaking of people getting beaten and everyone being sad about it, see, Montserrat didn't manage the Eagle Cup in the end.
Oh, did they not?
They got beaten. Because there's five or six lads who like lived in around like Wembley. Mm.
And they went out there.
So they just went out there and like just threw their granddad, sort of went, oh, I think my grandson runs a rat as well. Oh, I think my granddad is. And then so about five or six lads just went over and played, and they're like, they were on the cusp of getting in.
What was the score?
They got beat 12-0.
They got beaten. Though.
Well, maybe Fort William should get Colin Lee in goal.
Oh, Nicaragua beat Barbados 1-0 away from home, so they took the last spot.
Oh, that is a great shame. Well, yeah, all our chat about Dickie Borthwick. Well, it's been announced in the papers that the oldest goalkeeper in Britain, Colin Lee, is still going strong, 79 years old, RAF veteran. holds a position of secretary in 8 of his local teams. I think he lives in Northampton, but he's won awards for his community building exploits around football. So, great man by the sounds of it. We don't know what goes on in his private life, but from what we know from the papers, he seems like a good egg. Currently plays most Saturdays in the same side as his son, Colin Jr., who's 50, and his grandson, Tom, who's 21.
He doesn't actually look 79 either.
He doesn't. Well, he said, I'm 80 in June and I've got no plans to stop playing. I will play for as long as my body lets me. And of course, if I'm still picked for the team. Good attitude.
Yes, exactly.
It's a good attitude that keeps you going strong. No player is bigger than the team, Pete Donaldson.
Can I just say also that he played his first game of football, organised game of football in 1949. Which is amazing.
I'm 37. I'm not even in contention, Marcus. I won't worry about that.
Incredibly. Incredibly. Yes. And we'll finish with Birmingham City being deducted 9 points by the Football League for breaching profitability and sustainability rules. I saw this headline. I was like, well, that I mean, that is bad. And then immediately there was a little sub-headline saying, Harry Redknapp says it was nothing to do with me.
Yeah. Harry Redknapp said, we bought in Isaac Vassell for £1 million from Luton, and he will be worth massive money, in my opinion. He was an absolute bargain. But I can't even take credit for that because he was nothing to do with me, to be truthful. I don't think any of the signings were mine. I was taking John Ruddy on a free transfer from Norwich, but instead they brought in David Stockdale from Brighton. The director of football wasn't brought in by me either.
Yeah. Good people. I don't think any of the signings were mine.
No. No, that's what he says.
We've got to take him on his
word. Take it on his word.
You've got David Stockdale's number. Give him a text.
I have, actually.
Find out what's going on.
He won't remember who I am. Well, he's no Clint Hill.
Birmingham City now 5 points above the relegation zone in the Championship with 6 games to play. Yeah. They could appeal the points deduction. Again, at time of recording, that hasn't happened or anything like that.
It's never nice to see a team. I mean, I understand why the punishments are in place, but it's never nice to see a team do that, have to go through that. But, yeah, there it is.
Redknapp has not left his mark.
No, apparently not.
No.
Apparently not.
All right, so we'll leave that one there.
King of the jungle. Don't worry about it.
Exactly.
But yeah, we genuinely feel sorry for Birmingham City fans, of course. But there we are.
Do you remember when Harry Redknapp is a little one to end on?
Here we go.
When Harry Redknapp
this is what we can say
in the press piping up about about kids not playing on football pitches anymore, not getting outside, and kids not being active, while simultaneously advertising the Nintendo Wii with his family.
You can play that outside.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. Can you? Don't know.
Nah, don't know.
You're the video game expert, switch. Mate.
If you've got an extension cable.
Yeah, exactly.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. We're back on Thursday for the preview show, of course. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, listeners. See you on Thursday.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more. And join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.